right now.
11LRNI. Now the lights dim low. Soon we'll start the show. Here comes LF Midwood.
The ball.
Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's napkins in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Always something happening, nothing going on. There's always something cooking, nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got. No one makes a move. Well, everybody's a winner. I've nothing left to lose. There's a little yellow idol to the north of Kathmandu. Everybody's flying, and no one leaves the ground. Well, everybody's crying, and no one makes a sound. There's a place for us in movies. You just gotta lay around.
John Lennon.
Oh,
on the 11L. I just scared myself. On the 11L, R&I, Ugly Stepchild, the Midwood Files. My name is L.F. Midwood, and you are listening to the Midwood Files, in case there was any question as to that. I was trying to do math, and I think John Lennon would have been, I think it would have been 81. I think that's it. He was born in 40. So, yeah, I think he would have been, let me see, now I want to put this back up. Wow, what's going on? I come in here once a week. And you know what? Usually I take a whiz before I start the show, but I forgot to take a whiz. I now have to take a whiz, which means I'm only going to do an hour. I have a 12 ounce of Mexico here. They seem to be very popular with all the former radio pirates. I noticed that. Let me pop that open. We had cheese enchiladas and some yellow rice. And wow, I know she just chops the top off of this, so there isn't anything. You know, there's no, like, you know, dynamic range. But I can see the meter is going into the red a lot. You know, and as long as it's not distorting, I guess I really shouldn't win one way or another. But yellow rice, refried beans, cheese enchiladas, and some friggin' a little bit of sour cream and some guacamole, but the avocados weren't quite ripe. So speaking of, I want to talk about John Lennon a little bit in a moment. But speaking of ripe avocados, we order a fair amount of Taco Bell from here time to time because I've always been a big fan of, even though it's like Domino's, it's not really Mexican food per se. It's ish. You know what I'm saying? But last week we ordered from a place called the Baja Grill. And there's like two of them in Providence. I don't know if they're a chain per se, meaning outside the state or even the city for that matter. It was real good stuff. It was expensive, but it was real good stuff. That was like the best burrito I had in a long time. Three meats in there. You get to choose three meats because it was a loaded burrito. And I got it with the rice, but without the beans. Go figure. I should have maybe done it the other way. I'm not a big fan. You know, they do those mission style burritos. I guess that's like that San Francisco thing. I don't know. Not a big fan. But it was really good. It was probably the best takeout Mexican. And we ordered guacamole on like a side of guacamole. You know, and that's why I'm talking about this at all, really. And we figured there'd be like a little cup of guacamole. There was like 12 ounces of guacamole in this container, and there were two of them. So she had one, and I had one, you know, because we're big guacamole fans. It was good. We enjoyed it. It was tasty. I'm enamored of Tex-Mex food. I'm obviously that's not going to be a problem headed towards Austin-ish, the great state of Texas. I'll probably be looking for other types of food that I can get here, there. But we'll see what, you know, we'll have to see how everything unfolds. You know, everything's a trade-off in life. I've noticed that. Even when I've had everything I've wanted, I've only had it for very scant, short periods of time before it slipped between my fingers. I have noticed that. So we'll be plenty of Mexican food where I'm going. Now, John Lennon, you know, my politics obviously have changed, and I'm not quite the quote unquote hippie that I used to be referred to as a child and a teenager. But I still, I've always had a soft spot for the Beatles. To me, music is like it's before the Beatles and after the Beatles. That's how I kind of, you know, break music. Is this thing? Yeah. Is it? Hey, is this thing on? Yeah. Okay. That's how I kind of break things down, you know, and John Lennon was always my favorite Beatle, because I always appreciated the sarcasm and even in the lyrics, the darkness of some of the, you know, of even the earlier stuff was really, it just made me, it spoke to me. So, and I remember the day, he died, I guess I was 10. And I always like to talk more about, the birthday. I don't really commemorate the anniversary of the assassination. I mean, I think I acknowledge it, but I mean, I'd rather talk about John Lennon on the day that he was born. I remember, how long ago was it, with the New Year's Eve, thing that on Channel 7, the Dick Clark's rock and roll thingy, and he's not even there anymore. And CeeLo Green came out, who I don't have that much of a use for, really. And he changed the words to Imagine. He sung Imagine, and he changed the words to Imagine. And I was outraged. I was outraged. I had a torch and a cross, and I was looking for this guy's yard. I was mad. I was mad. I was cutting a hole in the sheets. I was. So, yeah, that made me angry. But I'll always have a soft spot for John Lennon and the Beatles in particular. But like I said, John, you know, the thing about McCartney was just always so sweet, you know. And although I did enjoy that thing that on Hulu there was pretty good. But John's always been my favorite. And then George after that. I would trade, and I say this all the time, and I hate to be an asshole, but I would trade a John and a, or I would trade a Ringo and a Paul for a John and a George any day of the week, any friggin' day. I would, I definitely would. But you don't get to choose these things in life. What can I say? That being said, happy birthday, and wherever you are, John Lennon, wherever you might be, wherever you may roam. Not so quite sure that dude went to heaven. And I should play more Beatles. You know, I was really, like I said, I was really Beatle. You know, my stepfather, Dave, got me into the Beatles. And he used to take me to the Beatle Fest and all that. And, you know, so I always, I played a lot of Beatles when I was a kid. I played a lot of Beatles. I remember the first song that I heard, the first Beatles song I ever heard was in my basement of my mom's old house on my stepfather's old stereo. It was The Night Before, which I think was the flip side to, it wasn't the flip side to Help. I think it was off the album. For whatever reason, I think it was off the album. It was off the Help album. Because the flip side to Help was I'm Down, which the Beastie Boys wanted to record, and Michael Jackson said no because he owned the rights at the time. You know, I've been doing a little research on this. Little research, for non-related. Every now and then I'm sitting there and my brain isn't really doing anything, which is rare, but it does happen. And I start looking stuff up on the old internet, the internets. And it seems, from what I understand, Paul McCartney is back in control of the catalog. I seem to think that that's the case. I think the Jackson estate wound up auctioning them off or selling them off and this, that, and the other thing. And I think they're back in possession of whoever's Paul McCartney's friggin' conglomerate, super conglomerate thing is, which is good. You would rather have the Beatles stuff in control of Paul McCartney. But, yeah, I don't listen to the Beatles enough. I should. I don't listen to a lot of stuff enough. I just got a USB-C to... 3.5 mini adapter for my large tablet. So I'm gonna start listening to music again, because I'm not even giving a whole lot of thought to what I'm playing when I come in here. And I know I've been playing some stuff. I've just been playing an open and a close, obviously. That's gonna change at some point. But I want to get back into spending some time on the music and really picking some tracks that I feel works with whatever I happen to be doing at the time. I'm not really doing anything this week. I got some news picked. I did go for my I went for my test this week. I had my anybody I owe a phone call to, I'll get to you. I just haven't been feeling very gabby. But I had my colonoscopy, and they found a whole bunch of polyps, including a really big one. And they got rid of the polyps, and there's the results are in. I don't really speak GI specialist thing, but I have an appointment on November 3rd to discuss what's going on with my doc, and we'll have to see. You know, now I'm not so sure it's something like Crohn's or whatnot. It may just be maybe I have a gas issue, but you know what? I'm not. Here's the deal: I'm not what you would call flatulent. I don't speak flatulese. So if it is a gas problem, it's just something that all of a sudden there's a lot of pressure when I eat, and it's real fast. And the nausea has been subsided because, you see, I've been eating stuff. I don't think I've put any weight back on, which is good. I should, 245-ish, somewhere around there. Remember, I was almost 280 going back last summer. So we're doing good. Everything went really well. And from my perspective, I just went in there, and the hardest part is the prep, because you got to drink stuff so they can clear out your track there, so they can get a good look with the camera, and they did. And that's it. I mean, we're just like at the next phase. The producer is just about to keel over. So as I start to unravel my health issues and start to move towards the finish line, she develops stuff. Complications of being alive, and so she's got to get to the doctor pretty soon. So neither of us have been well at the same time. That's really what it comes down to, but we try and be and have a good attitude about these things, and that's that. I waited all summer for this friggin' and it was so anticlimactic. It's like I wake up, they gave me some juice and crackers and said see you later, and I'm like, What do you mean? And this is actually kind of funny. I have this thing about popping IVs out when I'm in a hospital situation and I have an IV put in. I blow them. I call it blow them, which means they're still in me, but they're not in the vein anymore. I have a tendency to do that because I move around, and it's all where they put them. It's not necessarily, good. Now, I like them up high. I'm, up here on over the crink of the elbow, over the turn of the elbow up. I got like gorgeous veins. My phlebotomist loves those veins. I got gorgeous veins. If I were ever a heroin addict, those would be the ones that I would have used one and then the other, and I would have probably gotten 10 years out of them and then collapsey. But that didn't happen. It didn't play out that way. But I have good veins, you know. But apparently when they do like surgery and stuff like that, they like to go low, because if there's a problem, they can, you know, go higher and go higher and, you know, successively higher up your arm if they need to. So this is really funny. I kept my slippers on. I took everything off except the robe, you know. And she didn't specify, but I took my boxes off because I knew it was, you know, it was the bottom. We were going to the bottom territory there, you know what I mean? We were going low. So I took my boxes off, and I just have the hospital robe, and I'm lying in the little gurney thing, right? And and they do the IV, and everybody's, you know, chatty, and it goes really well. There's a nurse who's doing intake, and one's doing the IV, and we're chatting, and I'm being charming, which I generally do to people who don't know me, as some of you may be aware of. And we're going, and yep. And it seems, you know, I let my slippers on, you know, for whatever reason. They gave me socks. They always give you the hospital socks, you know, like so you're going in the hospital and like you get some sort of fungus on your toes or whatever that they don't want to deal with, they don't want to see. No, don't ask, don't tell about the toes. So they give you the, you know, those tread socks. And I wasn't going anywhere, you know, I was in the gurney. But I had the socks on, and I left my rubber shoes. I go everywhere in my rubber shoes. They're like Croc knockoffs that I get from Walmart. Now, I have a real nice pair of black Crocs that I never wear because I'm like, oh, I don't want to mess them up. So I don't wear them. But so I wear the rubber shoes. They're like almost like something like the North Vietnamese were wearing during the Vietnam. They're like that. They're like that. So I go everywhere. I was even talking to the producer. I'm like, you know what? I even use these in the winter. There can be, as long as it's not like, you know, like 3-4 inches of snow, I'll go out in these things even with a couple inches of snow. Because where do I ever go? I go to the car. I go from the house to the car to wherever I'm going, back into the car, back to the driveway, the house, back into the house. I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, doing like rounds and rounds and rounds of stuff. I forgot why. Oh, yeah, now I remember. So I had them on, and I forgot to take them off. You know, I was wearing them under the sheet. So I'm like, oh, let me take these off. So in the process of getting them off and into my hand, I popped the IV. The IV just pops. So it just so happens that one of the doctors, not a nurse or a nurse's physician or one of the actual doctors who's going to be involved with my procedure walks by and sees me holding the IV thing in my left hand and waving it around. Like, you know, it's not good. So she says, okay, I'll get somebody to take care of that. And I'm saying to myself, okay, why can't you take care of that? Why can't you do it? Why can't you do it? What is it about? It's under your pay grade? Is that what it is? I didn't know. I wasn't sure. So she got someone in, and they taped it, like mega taped it, you know, which is good. But yeah, I have a tendency of popping those things. I'm a little Coca-Cola, a little Mexi-Coke. Yeah. Hmm. A little warm. Who says good things don't come from Mexico? Who says that? So anyway, so they rolled me in, they rolled me out. Like I said, it was all, you know, the prep was more annoying than anything else, which is like really good. I went right out, gave me the stuff. I wish I gave me the stuff for off, and I'm like that. I was gone. I was out. See you later. And now it seems so anticlimactic, you know. And like I said, I've seen the results, and it said all I can really pick out that makes sense is no colitis. And the colitis would have been a sign of something going on. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll have to, like I said, want to talk to my guy on the third, and we'll see what the story is. Who, for all I know, because he was saying he was going to send me to neurology. So I'll have to see what that does. Maybe it's all in my head. If it weren't in my head, where would it be? Yeah, that's a throwback to the acid days. If it weren't in my head, where would it be? I used to do a lot of acid. Have I mentioned that? Has that not yet become apparent to you? Now, I'm trying to think of anything else that might have occurred this week in my life that would be kind of interesting. My sister, my half-sister, she had her child early. It was what they call an elite preemie. It was supposed to be November, and she had it in October, and it had some sort of what they call clampitis or preclampitis. I'm not really familiar with these things. So we're waiting to hear back from her and her boyfriend, a Jamaican dude. So we should get along fine. So my niece's name, I actually have a niece now, which was, it took me back when I said it. I came into the studio, it's really funny. I came into the studio and I said it to the producer. And then I like, you know, it was like, wow. it was one of those set you back kind of moments. I was like, hey, wait a second. Okay. But waiting to hear back, we're on full alert. But as far as we know, everybody is okay, as okay can be under the circumstances. It could have been, obviously, could have been better circumstances. So that happened this week. Yeah, that was like when I got back. And then the next thing, I got a text about that from my aunt, right? From Jerry. And then the next text I get from her, like an hour later, is, do you want some mini black and white cookies? So, you know, I have to rate these things, like, as far as, like, hey, what's going on? You know what I mean? As far as serious of emergency sense type stuff, if we could go from that, to go from the situation with my sister, to do you want any cookies? So that's the way it rolls around here. You know, we're very calm about things. And October is here. We're rolling into to friggin' Halloween, which is, you know, Halloween and I guess the Day of the Dead, which is obviously a whole different other holiday, and Samhain, which is still eyeballed around here, giving a hard look. We give it a hard look. And, you know, All Saints and All Souls Day, let's not forget. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff culminates at the end of October. So all that's rolling in, and, you know, I would want to see, this is probably obviously going to be a last October here, and if everybody were in better shape, which we're not, I would have liked to have gone on one more little Halloween tour. We did one a couple of, wow, it's a long time ago, I guess, maybe a decade ago, maybe a little less. I forget the mental, Rory, what was it? I think it's Rory, because it's the same name as my cousin's cat. Rory, I can't remember his last name, but he wrote a book, and he's a mentalist. And he does a tour of Providence, Inner Providence. And we went to go see him with his twice, and we walked around Providence, and he gave us the little tour there. I would maybe, if maybe I might get to go see Mercy Brown's grave, who, if you're into that sort of stuff, you should put Mercy Brown into your browser, and you'll see that she was like a 19th century, maybe even late 17th century, vampire story, good old Rhode Island vampire story, what passes for a vampire story around here. But I might get out to where her grave is if I push the right buttons and I bring my camera. My camera is starting to become visible underneath all the boxes from the friggin' spaceship parts I got from Amazon and Etsy. Etsy's good for a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of the custom-made parts. And my camera is slightly visible again, and I do have an 18-135 lens that I picked up not that long ago that I want to try out. I know I plugged it in and it was fine, but now I want to. You know, I guess I got this friggin', what is this thing? I don't even know. It's the smallest SLR they make, Canon makes. It's sitting right here, and we were using it for video for the longest time. So maybe I'll just take that with me, because I never use it. So, you know, I never use it for stills. So maybe I'll take that with me. And see if I can figure that out. Just set it for whatever exposure and just leave it there. So I'm thinking of doing that. Or I just may dig out my big my 90D, the big old monster, and see what the deal was. But I do want to take some graveyard photos before I leave. I was just reading. Apparently the difference, it's a little Halloween fact for you, the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery is that a graveyard is attached to a church, while a cemetery isn't. I read that. It was on the internet, so it must be true. Must be. We haven't been getting candy. I don't know if we're going to do that with me being, you know, whatever. There's real sugar. That's the thing about these Cokes. There's real, and they do taste really different. I mean, to me, to my palate. Yeah. Hang on. Yeah. I don't think they make bigger than 12 ounces, because in the rest of the world, 12 ounces is a lot. It's a lot, but, you know, the fat fucks that we are in America, you know, is, I keep popping into that red. I'm doing it. I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care. Let me get to some news. Move on. Oops, sorry. Move on to the news. Was there anything that I didn't hit in the news? I know I was watching, I watched the like half of President Trump on that, and I think it's Iowa. Was he in Iowa? And that was electrifying. You know, it sounds like the dude's on the campaign trail. That's what it sounds like to me. So yay, yay! What else was there? I'm trying to think anything that was like ginormous that I might want to comment on that I didn't pull a news story because I don't always put, because I'm like that sometimes. The Knicks, by the way, are, you know, it's just preseason, and this is the second preseason game. But I'm really liking what I'm seeing. I might talk about the Knicks a little bit more this season because I'm just so goddamn excited. But I like what I see. They were in preseason against Washington, and they played very well. They beat Washington. The defense was there. The offense, I think there was like 22, count them, 22 three-pointers. If it had been a regular season game, it would have set a record. I don't know if they keep records for preseason games. I don't think they do. And that's ginormous. That's like 57 points. I think it was like 57 points in three-pointers. So I could be wrong about that because I'm really lousy at math. But anyway, I'm very excited. I was watching the game and getting the news together. So that pretty much says it all. So it's for the primary reason I mentioned that. All right. What do we got out of the post here? I don't even know what's going on. More than a dozen businesses fined. I know I have vac stuff this week. I know I have virus. There's a fair amount of virus stuff floating around that I grabbed. It may not be in order, but we'll see. This is out of New York Post. More than a dozen businesses fined for flouting NYC's vaccine mandate. Yeah, Coke is awesome. 14 businesses were fined $1,000 for failing to enforce the city's vaccine mandate. So far, just 14 businesses out of 27,500 inspected have been hit with fines by the city for disobeying the new vaccine rules. The $1,000 fines doled out so far came as another 6,760 businesses were warned about failing to enforce the city's mandate, which required patrons to produce proof of vaccination to enter places like restaurants, bars, museums, and theaters. The city declined to identify the violators. City businesses that disagree with the mandate face a warning, followed by a $1,000 fine for a first offense, $2,000 for the second, $5,000 for each additional. That can hurt. That can hurt. You know, that can hurt somebody's bottom line, a business bottom line. Enforcement of the mandate began September 13th after a weeks-long public service announcement campaign. Just days later, three Texas tourists allegedly attacked the restaurant hostess who'd asked for proof of vaccination or questioned the legitimacy of the trio's documents. The tourists who denied the allegations were arrested. Texas, yeah, leave it to Texas. The enforcement stats come as a new website touted a list of 61 businesses it promises will not enforce vaccine mandates in an effort the city slammed as dangerous. Okay. We are not trying to get people sick around here, said a spokesperson in reference to the site whose address the Post is withholding. But the site creator, who gave his name only as Josh, it's always the Joshes, defended the effort. For those who are unvaccinated or don't have identification, the businesses on that website are the only places that you can go to eat with their family, said Josh, who launched the site with his wife. It's dangerous. Is it dangerous for these businesses to be up there, he asked. Yes, it is, and we all understand that reality. We are basically handing over a list that's saying these are businesses in New York City that are not compliant. It's really not about money for most of these businesses, Josh added. They're there for a fight. I don't think they worry about it. I don't think they deny anybody service for any reason. A spokesperson for de Blasio, Mitch Schwartz, said in a statement, "It's odd and disappointing that some people are crowdsourcing ways to make New York City less safe from COVID-19. The vast majority of businesses have a smooth transition to NYC, and will continue to taking actions against those who haven't. Thanks for the tip." So that's what that campaign is called. I guess it's the key to NYC. Oh, that's pretty clever. Yeah. Now, there's always going to be an underground, a black market, if you will. Doesn't matter what it is. There could be a nuclear explosion, and the next day there'll be somebody looking for an egg fried, and the next day there'll be someone with an egg who's willing to fry it for you. So that being said, how do I feel? I don't know how I feel. I can't get rid of this, and it's making me kooky. Hang on. There it is. You know, we're back with these vax, anti-vax. You know, it's like class warfare. It's moving in to the section of class warfare. And now I don't eat out much. places I do are generally still observing, with the exception of being on the honor system, which is really crazy, by the way. I mean, just in general, this would be an honor system on anything. Doesn't matter whether it's COVID or whatever. Most of the signs on restaurant doors and I think even stores these days are, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. And if you're not vaccinated, will you, somebody put something in my Coke. If you're not vaccinated, then you need to be wearing a mask. That's what these signs say. So, yeah, we are truly on the honor system. And I still think, again, we're at 100% capacity in restaurants, and I know that freaks some people out. They're like, how are you doing that? How are you, we're only at 25% or 50%, and they make us eat on the roof. I don't know. It's just Rhode Island. I don't know what our numbers are. I don't know whether they're getting better or whether they're getting worse. I don't know. I really, with the exception of there being like stories that hit the mainstream media, I'm not really tracking what's going on in Rhode Island anymore. I've been living in my own world all summer. I've been ordering Grubhub and DoorDash, and I prefer DoorDash to Grubhub, but it's got to stop now. We've reached a point where we have to stop. It is no longer financially feasible to order out every other night. It's just not. No, it's not. So we're going to stop doing that. That's good for health stuff, too, because we're concerned about sodium at this point. But anyway, you know, you'd be shocked how much salt there is in food. Oof, my gosh. But that being said, most of the places I go to, I don't have to produce any sort of identification or a card or anything. I'm not quite sure how I feel about the idea of New York City. Like I said, there's always going to be somewhere where you can get whatever you want done or have, you know, generally 24 hours a day. Is it a public health risk? I'm not really 100% sure. I know I say this a lot. You know, he's soft on the vaccine thing. Well, I've been vaccinated. We've had that conversation. I did that because I felt I had enough underlying, and so did the people who live in my home. She had this abode with me, had enough underlying issues where we felt it was necessary. I don't know if I haven't encountered anybody who's been sick personally. I know of people who have died as a result of it. I know people who know people. So it's third, but it's like, I mean, personally know people who have had relatives die of COVID, but they were older and they had underlying as well too. I don't know anybody who's young who's died of COVID at all. So, I mean, I'm still kind of like, maybe we just shouldn't let old people with underlying conditions into restaurants. Maybe that would solve the problem. You know, just, it doesn't make sense to, you know, if we're going to protect, we want to protect the most vulnerable, then we should, what's that word, you know, when you... what they did to us. Quarantine, you know, when you lock down the old people. It's that simple. Lock down the old people. You know, the old people want to come out and whatever, then they have to get vaccinated and show proof for their own good. For their own good. I don't understand why and this is one thing that's really been, you know, all the way along. I don't understand why everybody else has to pay the price. Because, you know, I did the responsible thing. I have old people here. I'm old myself, but I had older people here. I got the vaccine. You know what I mean? So I don't get it. I'm not 100% sure, you know. So there's basically, I guess, in short for this one, there's a COVID, there's a anti-vax underground in New York City. Wow. Nifty. Let's see. Do I have anything else that I know for a fact is, let's see, Trump, no, read that one. Top scientists, I don't know. I'm confused. Oh, well, this is, yeah, I guess. This is Sputnik. Yeah, I know. I like Sputnik, though. Let me set them close. Okay. Oh, it didn't go to where I wanted it to go. There was supposed to be an article about, I don't see it. I forget in what country. Multiples, actually. I think it was France. Who are Mexico. Mexican cartels reportedly shoot fire machine guns into U.S. taunt NG troops amid migrant crisis. Nice. Nice. Yeah, the cartels have got to go. The cartels have got to go. This says Trump. I'm looking for it. Now I'm just like wandering around looking for it. I have to remember that they do the same thing that Morgan Freeman opposes defending police. Yeah, he's always been on the rational side. Russia, Syria, and blames Rome police use water cannons to disperse protests against COVID-19 green passes. All right, that's a video, so I'm not going to open that up. But, I mean, you kind of, again, it's just like last week. There's a lot of protesting. New study slams COVID-19 did not originate in Chinese cave. Well, that's interesting as well, too. Let's see. Viral. Okay, we're going to the viral category. Moon rocks retreat from China's mission show. Lunar volcanic activity 2 billion years ago. I needed to know that. I can't find the specific story that I saved, because they're one of those places that when you save a story, it kind of just links to the page itself and not to hang on like some sort of. Wow, that's loud. I should have gotten a coaster. Let's see. What do I got here? Climate. All right, let's see what this says. Top scientist lays out case for Wuhan leak, warns they may have an even deadlier virus. So this is out of the Dan Bongino. You know, he's a regular on Fox. I think he's got his own show on Fox, actually. I don't want to read this whole thing. But it went from the idea of it escaping from the Wuhan lab, went from a fringe conspiracy theory to one of leading explanations for the pandemic in record time. Yeah, okay, so there's scientific community is looking at that hard now. And the idea becomes is, well, what do we do? What do we do if tomorrow we found out that it originated in the lab? You know, and we also find out, and this is also layer of the onion, that there was a wraparound, one way or another, U.S. funding going on from national health institutes and this, that, and the other thing. That's the Coke, excuse me. What do we do? You know, I guess we could set up an embargo or something or another. I don't even know if we can do that. There's so much crap from China now. I'm not even sure we can do that. I mean, how would we punish China? Right. That's my point. So, you know, I guess it's good to know these things, but what can we do about them? Okay. China, speaking of China, this was an interesting story. This is out of the Epic Times. China seeks answers after U.S. nuclear submarine collided with, quote unquote, object in South China Sea. A U.S. Navy nuclear-powered submarine that was damaged in a collision with an unknown underwater object in the South China Sea last week has arrived in port at Guam, the Navy said on Friday. We have ports and things all over, ports and bases all over the place. No further details about the circumstances of the collision or the extent of the damage to the USS Connecticut were available, but China's foreign ministry expressed serious concern about what happened. China's foreign ministry spokesperson, some name I can't pronounce, told reporters Friday that the United Nations should clarify in detail the situation of the accident, including the location and the intent of the sailing details of the accident, such as what exactly it collided with, whether it caused a nuclear leak, and whether the damage and whether it damaged the local marine environment. Yeah, China gives a lot of shit about that. When it was disclosed the October 2nd accident on Thursday, the U.S. Pacific Fleet said that there had been no damage to the submarine's nuclear propulsion system and that it had not yet determined what underwater object had been struck. It did not say where the collision happened, but other officials said it was in the South China Sea. The Chinese government regime claims total sovereignty over the South China Sea, a stance that is not accepted by the United States and its allies. The Chinese regime protests the presence of the U.S. Navy in the area. Me no likey. Me no likey round eye. The South China Sea is among many points of growing contention between Washington and Beijing, including the status of Taiwan, the island that the Chinese regime claims as its own, despite the fact that Taiwan is a de facto independent country with its own military and democratically elected government and constitution. Yeah. The U.S. submarines on the water collision in the South China Sea was unusual, and the Navy said it was under investigation. About 11 crew members sustained injuries that the Navy said ranged from moderate to minor, including scrapes and bruises. Oh, wow. The Connecticut, based at Bremerton, Washington, is one of the Seawolf class of attack submarines in the Navy's fleet. Those subs were designed during the Cold War with the Navy of the former Soviet Union in mind to improve the U.S. military's ability to attack submarines and surface ships, which operated with crew of about 140. So that's interesting. Yeah, I wonder what it hit. It was an object. It hit an object. I'm sure some of the other, some media, I was going to say other media. I guess on media. I guess I qualify as media. I'm sure some of the other media out there is one. Like, I would like to see what Clyde Lewis from his Ground Zero, Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero. I wonder what they make of that, because they're always kind of interesting with their takes on stuff of that nature. I don't think I have mentioned Clyde before. I probably have. So anyway, I think he's on the same network as Coast to Coast with George Norrie. So yeah, I'd be interested. I should have looked that up and thought if they had any takes on it. Probably a giant pizza or something along those lines. All right, so I got rid of that. Wait a minute, where is it? China seeks answers. There we go. Remove. This is good. Pope Francis and Nancy Pelosi meet at the Vatican. I didn't know a broom could travel that far. Pope Francis met with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Saturday. At the time of the publication, the Vatican had released no information about what the Pope and Pelosi discussed. In line with its usual custom of papal meetings with non-heads of state. But it noted the audience in the Daily Bulletin for October 9th, saying House Speaker was accompanied by her husband, businessman Paul Pelosi, and entourage. Photographs released by the Vatican showed Pelosi had also met with the Secretary of State and Foreign Minister Archbishop Paul Gallagher. Some sort of deal, some sort of shifty deal. The first Italian-American speaker of the House was in Rome to give the keynote address at the opening of the G20 Parliamental Speakers Summit, Globalism, Globalism, Globalism. She met with the Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi. The day before her audience with the Pope, the 81-year-old discussed environmental migration, human rights during a visit to the Vatican. And it's really interesting. If you look at all these photos, there are photos here. The Pope is smiling. The Pope looks happy. Look at him. The Pope is happy. You can see he's happy, right? Everybody's friggin' smiling, right? Now, you go back to when President Trump and his family visited the Vatican. No one's smiling. No one. No one. Not the Trumps, because I think it was President Trump, and I think it was his wife and his daughter. Nobody in those photos is smiling. Nobody. You know why? Because the Pope is a commie. He's a globalist, commie, son of a bitch, bastard. Yes, one of my major problems with the church right now. And I have more than a few, but I'm not interested in that he needs to go away. We're not even sure he's the real pope. What is the paperwork on that? Have anybody ever seen any paperwork on that? You know, there have been fake popes before, faux popes. Faux popes. Yeah, I just made it. Faux popes. There have been fake popes. There have been popes that weren't, legitimate, certified, stamped, So anyway, I wonder. Pelosi's old, though. She'll die soon. That's the good news. That's the good news. That's the takeaway from the story. Anyway. Remove. Okay. And what do we got? Oh, Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live, and who is this out of? The Patriot Project. And I think you could have found this anywhere. I saw this a couple of few places. Saturday Night Live suffers worst rated episode in its history after hiring avowed socialist. And this is Kip Jones, the Western Journal, October 9th. Okay, that's today. Saturday Night Live is a show which could have been canceled and not missed 2 decades ago. Suffering the biggest ratings skid in its 47 history last weekend for the season opener. The Wrap, citing analytics from Nielsen, reported the opening episode of the show's new season was the least watched episode in total viewers since the show launched in 1975 on NBC. Now, that's saying a lot, if some of you recall the early 80s prior to Eddie Murphy coming along and giving it a little bit of life. So that's saying a lot. I'm only going to get better when Kim Kardashian's on. Like, I think even Not For Nothing, just as a side note here, I want to get back to this story. Sidebar, side thing, whatever. I couldn't remember the name of the thing. Sidebar, side note, side something or another. Whatever it is. All right, I have to write it down. Friggin' they announced that Kim Kardashian's going to host, right? So what's her name? The commie from Will and Grace. I can't remember her name. She's like, Kim Kardashian? And just this one's a liberal, you know? She's like, what the heck does Kim Kardashian do? I mean, generally people who host Saturday Night Live have, there's some sort of singer or dancer or actor or something, and they're promoting a movie or an album or something. What's Kim Kardashian do? What she do? It's a great question. It's a great, great, great question. Okay, so this past Saturday's episode, which was hosted by Owen Wilson, drew in a 0.92 rating in the advertisement coveted 18 to 49 demographic. I am actually out of that demographic, and I'm sad. I just made myself really, really sad. Hang on for a second. I need to recover. Okay. Those Nielsen numbers were down 50% in the demo and 41% overall from the show's season 46 premiere, which was hosted by Chris Rock, a alumni, I might add. Tony Maligo and The Wrap reported, I don't know the dude's name. It's hard to believe that hiring an avowed socialist didn't help the formerly great but now woke sketch comedy show attract new viewers. As The Wrap reported, new additions to the show this year include Aristotle something or another, James Austin Johnson, and Sarah Sherman. No idea. Sherman is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, and she's tweeted messages such as this one. Dogs, mall, 16-year-old baby, and shocking attack. No, this one down here. Okay. Defund the police. Mayor of L.A., put your money where your mouth is, where your snout is. Oh, that's funny. That's cute. How did the show's writers think this poorly written and executed segment starring Sherman and cast member Andrew Domescus would resonate with audiences who could easily find more laughs on TikTok? SNL hasn't been very funny for some time. Let alone very funny. People argue about the show quit because about laughs and become more about pushing bathroom humor and the left's cultural and political agenda. I agree with that entirely. Some say it was done by 1980 while others were still hanging on during the last decade. I don't know. Will Ferrell arguably carried the show from the late 90s into the 21st century, while Tina Fey was sometimes fun to watch. But those two were no match comedically for their predecessors, people like Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, and Jane Curtin. From the 1980s to the 1990s, the show experienced a resurgence which brought along the likes of Phil Hartman, indeed, Mike Myers, Jan Hooks, Dana Carvey, Chris Farley, and Tim Meadows. Even left-wing cast member Janine Garofalo was funny. That was probably because she checked her overt brand of liberal politics at the door. They don't do that at Saturday Night Live anymore. It's leftist vitriol all the time. The political jokes are never balanced and never funny, which is tragic. Americans used to be able to laugh at one another with the help of SNL. If you're a Norm MacDonald purist, then you're still reeling from the former Weekend Update's host's stunning death last month. MacDonald was a genius who will forever be remembered for his sickness and deadpan style. Who could ever forget his delivery of jokes such as this one? Creator Lauren MacDonald, who let MacDonald, Farley, and too many others go before they were done entertaining America, has completely lost his touch. It's finally showing in the ratings and in the material. SNL would be better off at this point if we could cancel it and remember it for what it once was, funny. Keeping it around at this point is simply a sad reminder that yet another formerly great American institution has been hijacked by the leftists. Perhaps the show finally goes off the air for good and we can properly eulogize it and remember only the good times, which is what I agree with that entirely. I agree with that. We stopped, and I was a big SNL guy. I was a big, you know, again, my stepfather Dave got me into SNL in, like, the 80s. And I watched, you know, because I was a lot of the other ones, the earlier ones. I watched it, like, almost religiously. And then pretty much through the 90s, I watched it almost religiously. And then I was busy for a while. And I became unbusy. That's how I'm going to refer to my incarceration. And I was busy for a while. I was elsewhere, and then I started watching it again. It just got to the point where, for the reasons mentioned in that article, I stopped watching it. You know, the producer and I kind of looked at each other and we said, you know what, it's not funny anymore. It's not anywhere near balanced. You know, and it's just not funny. It's not enjoyable. We weren't enjoying it. And it just so happens the last season that we watched coincided with what's his name, the announcers, that's the drugs at work, the announcers, Don Pardo dying and shoveling off his morgue. So we just stopped. The only one we watched in the last, I guess it's 4 years, maybe 5 years, was when Eddie Murphy came back, because I wanted to, you know, Eddie Murphy having been one of the saviors of the show at one point in time. I was curious how that would play out, you know, and we haven't watched since. We just watched that one episode. So yeah, it's sad, but what am I gonna do? More people starting to realize it. And now they actually hired a socialist. They hired a commie. They literally hired a commie. Who would have guessed? What's this one? What is this? Sometimes it's just random. Oh, appliance delays cause havoc. This is out of the Wall Street Journal. Just 180 more days until your oven arrives. Okay, great. This is good stuff. This is written by Austin Hufford. Can I read this? Read the full story? Is it going to give me an issue? No, it's going to give me an issue? Yeah, it's not going to let me read it's not going to let me read the whole thing, which is super annoying. Hang on. Nope, it's mad. It's mad at me. Yeah, it wants me to sign in. The crust of the story is that I saw a couple of other articles said the same thing, and I think people are starting to notice in other areas as well too. There's a shortage of stuff, appliances, as mentioned in the Wall Street Journal, certain foodstuffs. I noticed on the few times that I have gone to the supermarket. I mean, it's not like epidemically bad. Pardon the expression. But it is pretty bad. I know car manufacturers are having problems with obtaining certain parts for their computers. I don't know if that was lithium or not. That's for batteries. That's the Afghanistan thing. Speaking of Afghanistan, I didn't pull a story on this. Yeah, but there's shortages all over the place, and people are starting to notice. And it's not good. It's not good. And it's going to illustrate a breakdown of various assembly lines and just the overall infrastructure, which is not good. I heard, I think I read that the U.S. is going to meet with the Taliban. Probably a bigger story than I'm probably making of it. I mean, I'm mentioning it, so it's obviously big enough. I don't know what that could be about. Maybe we forgot to give them something, you know, hand over something to them. I don't know. Fucking Biden. If you voted for Biden, go punch yourself in the face. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What's this? Twitter censors thread from entrepreneur who regrets taking the vaccine after serious side effects. Okay. Twitter censored a thread in which Michael Robinson explained that he regretted trading my solid health for a temporary freedom to travel and freedom from being criticized. Robinson, inventor and entrepreneur, and founder of Spartan Monkey Rescue. Okay, apparently he rescues monkeys. Think, study, and be aware before getting the virus, before getting the vaccine. That's what he's got to say, just so we know, which is, you know, a good. You should do your research. You shouldn't just jump into it. I know I did my research. And at the time, it's a while ago, it didn't seem like a bad, and it's still, I you know what? I haven't had any, as far as I know, other than becoming ill 9 days later. People still point that out to me. But as far as I know, I haven't had any ill effects that are directly related to the virus. But some people do. So that's not good. What do we got here? I just want to do, what time is it? All right, I'll do one more, I think. Also related. DeSantis, this is the governor of Florida. DeSantis responds to Biden's vaccine mandate in Florida. We will fight back. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said his state will fight back against President Joe Biden's plan for the Labor Department to draft an emergency rule that would require all employers with 100 or more employees ensure their workforce are fully vaccinated and show a negative test at least once a week. Wow, that's crazy. I think during the remarks on September 9th, Biden said that the United States can and will turn the tide against COVID-19 by max vaccinations, while casting blame at the 80 million people who haven't been vaccinated. We're in a tough stretch, he said. This is not about freedom or personal choice, he said. It's about protecting yourself and those around you. Governor DeSantis is focused on working on for Floridians. Christina Pawshaw, press secretary for DeSantis, said, told the Epic Times. This is Epic Times? No, this is not Epic Times. Yesterday's White House spectacle was a desperate attempt to regain control of the narrative and distract from the Biden administrator's abject failures. Afghanistan, the border crisis, COVID-19. Okay, so that's you get the general drift of it, right? Right there. But what's that in? And this is really starting to creep up, because every conversation I have with someone, this winds up coming up. The cost of everything is going up. Food, gas. I think gas is at an all-time high, or at least the high since 2014, which would be about seven-year high. Clothes, everything is going up. And what that is it's inflation, right? And what inflation is a hidden tax, boys and girls. It's actually a hidden tax. So, yes, inflation is going up. And you got to remember, not for nothing, you know, 3 years ago, you know, 2.5 years ago, we had an incredible economy. It was scary how good the economy was. It was like, this can't possibly last. And then COVID came along. And the president was advised, because he listens to the people around him, to shut the economy down. And it never recovered. It never recovered. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Thank you very much. Anyway. That being said, yeah, inflation is out of control. A lot of freaking things are out of control. I can't see at this point in time. I think the Republicans could run a dead chimpanzee and still beat Biden. That's what I think. I honestly really think. And Biden's not running. We know Biden's not running. So, you know, I'm mischaracterizing that state. The Republicans can run a dead chimpanzee, and Kamala Harris is not going to win. Not going to happen. So anyway, that being said, I had to whiz the whole time I was here. But I did a good job, and I hung in there. Yeah, because I don't know how I don't have a wireless mic. I'd have to yell real. I'd have to whistle really loud in order for you to hear me. But I didn't do that. I opted not to do that. Anyway, thank you for imbibing the Midwood Files. Let's head over and do the quick plugs so I can get the hell out of here. Head over to Midwood Files. You'll see friggin' archives. You'll see social media links, and you'll see just plain old links that I use to call the news together. Some of those are dead or have changed. I have to fix those. I have to muster up enough energy to go in there and fix those. But if you go all the way up to the top, you'll see the Midwest Files. You'll see Home, and that's the main page which you're looking at. And then you'll see 11LRNI, which is John Lightning's page. If you go over there, and you'll see I hit that, and you head over to John Lightning's site. And there's plenty of John Lightning archives and Dave the Boogeyman archives and Big Steve Colin Memoriam archives. And, yes, and even Midwood archives. Oh, keep moving along, and you'll see contact. That's that gets you the email address, lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com, lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. And then all the way over to the right is our good friend Brad Reed over there at Grits Radio. Brad, we appreciate you running the program. We do. From the bottom of our hearts, we do. That being said, I'm going to get out of here. I thank you for imbibing for in any fashion that you have, whether it be live or not live, unlive, undead. I guess undead will be Halloween. We're going to do a nice Halloween show. It's going to be the producer and I. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but there'll be some stuff in there. So a little bit of something for everyone, and it's still weeks away, so I don't have to worry about it. I will be back next week. We take it 1 week at a time around here. That being said, let me start. I'm going to head out with John Lennon, Watching the Wheels, of course. And we'll be back next week. See you on the other side.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watch your shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. Well, I tell them there's no problem, only solutions. Well, they shake their heads and they look at me as if I've lost my mind. I tell them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time. I just had to
been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.